Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Okay, it is my pleasure to introduce our speaker for the day. I can tell you it does a mama good that when her babies come up and preach, my eldest two have had their turn in their dad's pulpit. Now it's Caleb's turn today. Caleb has grown up in this church from kids' church. He went through kids' church where he learned a lot of the things that were taught to Caleb and he has held on to, took place in kids' church. Parents, listen. Go over what your kids learn in kids' church. I know they're doing fantastic, awesome curriculum now. I see what Pastor Brian prints out for that, the time that he takes. Listen to me. Kids' church is not to be taken lightly. That is where the good word, foundations start. I remember a lot of things that I learned when I was in Sunday school. I was a Methodist, so it was Sunday school. And the things that will stay with you, the things that they learn, that will not depart from them, the things that they will build their life on. And that has happened with Caleb. I can promise you the things that Caleb will talk to you about, he talks to you about because he comes from a place of knowing. He's walked them out. I can't think of anybody better right now than Caleb to fill his dad's pulpit while his dad is filling someone else's this morning. And with that, because I don't like to cry in public, here's Caleb.
Good morning, everyone. Y'all look lovely. So the first thing I want to do is pray. And just Holy Spirit, thank you for making your way so we could all be here today. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the message so that you can speak through me to the people. I ask you to open up their hearts and their ears and their minds, and everything I say would be what you want me to say. Amen. Okay, so today's message is all about practicality. The title for the message is The War for Your Thought Life. I very much like practicality. I like having steps that I can go through so I can find an end goal. I like fixing problems. So today we're going to fix some problems. So, some keys to winning the war for your thought life. The first key is you have to know your position as above and not beneath. Your birthright is above Satan. He has no power over you unless you choose to give it to him. From that position, then you can go to war because you've already won. Josh, can you put up Deuteronomy 28:13? And the Lord will make you the head. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath. Once again, you're above, not beneath. Second key, God wants you to give him the thoughts that are from the enemy. He does not want you to keep him. It's not his desire for you to hold on to those things and accept them. His hands are open. He's waiting. You have to choose to give them to him. He will not take them from you because that is not love. You are a part of the process. Third key, God loves you no matter what. Nothing you can do will change that. No thought you have, no thought the enemy sends your way will change that. Everybody struggles with thoughts. The enemy's he's trying to get us to stop our relationship with God. So he's going to send us thoughts. Your thoughts do not determine who you are. It is what you do with your thoughts, which thoughts you choose to accept, that determines who you are. Okay, so We've identified our keys to winning the war. How do we deal with our thoughts? So one of the very key things with that is you have to be able to hear and speak to God. If we look in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I've had people say, well, I don't hear God. Yes, you do. It says right here, you do. Now, obviously, there's struggle. I personally have struggled with hearing God. I'm not saying it's easy, but you do. So there is, that is a lie of the enemy that you do not hear God. You have accepted a lie, and so let's fix it. So you do hear God. He speaks to you. That is biblical. That is truth that you must accept. Okay, so hearing and speaking to God is one of our many tools. It allows us to hear what God says about us, to speak to our identity so that we have something to fight with. So let's say, for example, you're feeling bad and you're like, man, I'm not feeling like I'm good enough. So you hear God, you say, God, look, I'm feeling like a train wreck. I don't feel like I'm good enough. What do you say about me? And he says to you, look, I made you perfect. I created you in perfection. You are good enough. I made you good enough. This is what you are. And he speaks to you and he tells you. And then you turn around and you say to Satan, look, this is who I am. There is power in believing what God's telling you and then taking that and speaking it out. There is power in the words. Bible tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So our words are incredibly powerful, and speaking them out just silences the enemy. Okay, so we'll start with the first half, speaking to God. That's the easier half. If we look in Exodus 2:24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, God hears you. Biblical. One thing that's speaking to God is prayer. Prayer is speaking to God. You're saying, okay, Lord, look, my leg's hurting. I ask you to heal me. That's speaking to God. Something that I think is oftentimes misconstrued is that we have to talk to God about important things. God loves you. He cares about you, which by proxy means that he cares about what you care about. If you could talk to God about anything, and he would love for you to do that. He loves to talk to you. For example, you could say, hey, God, I can't decide between these two shirts today. What do you think? What's your opinion? It's something as simple as that. It might not seem important, but it's important to him because he loves you. He's your father. He wants to spend time with you and speak to you. It's also great practice. So that's speaking. That's the easier part. The harder part's hearing. So as we went over, we know we can hear him. That's biblical. The second part is you have to listen. You cannot say, like oftentimes with prayer, it's just, you know, a list of, here, Lord, here's my grocery list. Here you go. You know, my leg hurts. Job isn't going so well. My boss is being mean to me. Fix it. But you do not wait and listen for his instruction. That is key. Hearing doesn't work without listening. If you have any friends who speak to you all the time and don't listen to you, no one wants that kind of friend. So, common problem is you think it's yourself. This is something I have very much struggled with. I'm speaking to God and I think that's just my conscience talking, right? So I have never audibly heard God, like through my ears. Most people I don't think do. The second thing is God is described as a still, small voice. So for me, what that looks like is I'll hear him. It's like it's in my mind. So you ask a question like in your mind and then hear a response in your mind. Now, how do I know that's not me answering my question? I run a test. I say, okay, God, I'm unsure if that's you I'm hearing or if that's me speaking to myself. So, God, do you love me? Well, I know the answer to this question. It's yes. God does love me. So, any voice that answers no is not him. And so we listen for that no, and we know, okay, this isn't God. Then the voice that responds, yes, is God. And when we recognize that voice, remember it, and then when we ask the question we're confused on, we use that voice. And it tells us, okay, this is God. Another thing you can do is use your knowledge of God to know what his answer is. Like I said, we know God loves us, so obviously he'll answer yes when you ask him that question. This applies to many other things, like God will never ask you to do something that isn't out of love. He'll never ask you to move in hate. Because God is love, he would never ask his children to move out of something other than love. Something else is to sit on it for a little bit. If it's, you know, some things are important and they're timely, and obviously you can't do it, you can't sit on something that's, you know, has a timetable that doesn't allow for time. But if you are given time, okay, God, I'm not sure here. Wait 10 minutes, ask again. Might find an answer there. That is something I've been working on. Just, it's better to wait, measure twice, cut once. It'll save you a lot of time. It is very important to be intentional. Back to the listening point. If you listen for a little bit, you may not hear everything God wants to say. So be intentional. Ask God questions. Don't be satisfied with just yes or no. Say, okay, God, what do I need to do? Okay, God, what do you mean by this? What does yes mean? What does no mean? Well, what do you think about this, God? Do not leave him with any questions. Ask everything. God is not impatient. God will not get angry at you for asking questions. The dumbest question you can ever, the dumbest question is the one you don't ask. Hearing God is, it's not easy for some. So it's important to be patient and to persevere. Take your time, keep improving, and as you ask more and more questions, and as you listen and you work through this with God, it'll become easier and easier. Okay, so as we went over your place, so now we can hear and speak to God. We've gone over that. Let's remove a thought. Evil thought comes. Let's think of an example. We'll go back to the I'm not good enough thought. Okay, so I'm not good enough. Two options here. You can recognize that as a bad thought, or continue or keep the thought and let it seed into your mind. So you choose. Which choice do you want to make? So in this case, we want to remove the thought. So, okay, that's a bad thought, not from God. Let's deal with it. You have to decide. You have to make that decision. It has to be a conscious decision because it requires action. Second step, give it to God. You can't hold on to that because if you do choose to hold on to that, it will plant a seed in your mind. God doesn't want you to have that, but it must be a choice. Back to that. The way I like to do this is in my mind. So we're three-part beings, right? Body, soul, spirit. Your spirit operates in heaven. So here's how I like to do this. Spirit operates in heaven. So in my mind, I'm going to use the term imagine, but typically imagine has to do with fiction. Don't think of it as fiction. People imagine unicorns. We're not imagining unicorns. That's just the best word I can think of to describe what I want to describe to you. So see yourself. Imagine yourself. Seated before God. This is how I like to do it. I see myself before God, and I take the thought in my hands like this, and I kneel before him like this. It's a place of surrender, because you're surrendering what you have and giving it to God. And I put it right here. I hold it out for him to take, and he takes it. It's just, that's how I like to visualize it like this, so I can see what I'm doing. I can see my action. From there, you've given him the thought. Now there's a void. Something has occupied a part of your part of you. You've given it to him. There's a void. It needs filled. Ask God to fill it. Let him speak to you. So we were talking about, I'm not good enough. Okay, God, fill my void. What am I? You are good enough. You're perfect and wonderfully made. I created you. And let that fill the gap. What frequently will happen is the enemy will say, no, that's not true. That's not true. You have to use what he says to fight the enemy. What I've been taught is you say, shut up. Because the enemy is, he's bombarding you constantly with thoughts. You say, shut up, devil. You say, go to hell, because that's where he belongs. You say, go to hell. That's where you belong. I'm above and not beneath. I have power over you, and I give you no power. Go where you belong. Shut up. Stop speaking to me. This is who I am. I am perfect and wonderfully made. So now we thank God. We say, God, thank you. Thank you for helping me through that. And then we say, okay, what else? What else have I not been alert to? Alert me, Lord, to the thoughts of the enemy that I have let seed in my heart. And let's deal with those and go back through the process. Okay, recognize thought, make a choice. Am I going to continue to let this have place in my mind, in my heart, or am I going to give it to God? Give it to God. Then let him speak to you to fill the void and thank. This doesn't always work on the first time. It is very important to be aware of that so that we don't, you know, just say, okay, one and done. I'm good now. I've done my job. I'm done. Okay, maybe that is. Other cases, it may take 2 times, 3 times, 10 times. The question I have for you is, how many times are you willing to go through this process until a thought's removed? Are you willing to do it 100 times? That's the question you have to answer yourself. I can promise you, in the end, it will be worth it. It is possible that this thought returns. Repeat the process. It is your diligence will decide. This is all about diligence. Will you be diligent? Will you be intentional? You decide the status of your thought life. I would like to add to that, the atmosphere you put your physical body in will determine the atmosphere of your thought life. If you choose to live in a place of darkness, your thought life will be darkness. So be mindful of that. Consider that. Like I said, this is all about intentionality. God wants to work with you through this. He wants to partner with you. It is his intention to remove these thoughts. Let's run through this. 3 keys. First key, your position is above and not beneath. Second key, you have to know that God wants these thoughts, wants to take them from you, and you have to choose to give them to him. Third key, God loves you no matter what. The thought you have will change that. You determine which thoughts you accept. No one can force you to accept thoughts but you. I would like to take this opportunity to open up for questions, because I'm sure it's, someone could be, you know, it could be, it's confusing. It was confusing for me. And so if anyone has any questions, I'd be more than willing to answer them. Like I said, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Yeah, that could be the case. I've had God say to me, it's not time for you to know that right now. But there's still an answer. He still will answer you and speak to you. Yeah. So for clarity, the question asked was, well, what if it's just not time for me to know yet? And like I said, the answer is, well, then he'll tell you. I've had that happen. He'll tell you, and he'll say, it's not time for you to know that yet, but it will come. Okay, so What if it's not just one thought? What if it is all the time? Yes, it is. I can tell you for me, it is constant battle. It's not a one and done thing because the enemy is persistent. He doesn't really lay off. And so you have to be more persistent than he is. You have to choose to persevere and fight through whatever he sends at you. So your question is, how do you keep in alignment with God? So how do you keep your thought life in alignment with God? Perfect. So, like I said, your physical body, where you put your physical body, the atmosphere there will determine the atmosphere of your thought life. So one thing you can do is try and move into alignment with God. Speak to him. Ask him, okay, God, what do you say about this situation? Ask him what he says. That will align you with God. Yeah, that's a great point. Read your Bible. That'll put your physical body in an atmosphere that will put your thought life there as well. Yeah, so the question was, can a shift in atmosphere help with an evil thought? Yes, it can. It's important, though, to make sure to go to God and say, okay, God, change my atmosphere. What else do I need to do? Like I said, be persistent and intentional. Leave no stone left unturned. That's a good point. So the question was, when you ask God a simple question like, do you love me? Then our minds will automatically go to yes because we know the answer to that. Yes, that's true. So something else that I find can be helpful for this determining if that voice is God is, well, one, you have a peace about it. If you hear God and he asks you to do something, you'll have peace. Two, sometimes for me, I'll get a feeling. Like you can feel Holy Spirit moving. And that can be very helpful. So, you know, just kind of, I guess, run what God's saying through some tests just for your sake so you know, okay, I've heard correctly. Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of times you'll get confirmation from someone. That could be very helpful. And if you are struggling, you know, to know, is this God? Go to someone. Go to someone who you know hears God and they can help you. Yeah, so the question was, is God ever intentionally silent? Honestly, I don't know. I wish I could answer your question. That's never really happened for me. I would say, I guess ask him. I mean, so, yeah. It was said that if God's silent, he may be silent because he wants you to do what he asked you to do previously. And something that can help is you go back and reference, okay, this is what God said then. And can I apply that to what my question is now? I think I know what you mean. Yeah. So scripture says we bring light to the darkness. Well, okay, but you just said not to walk in darkness. Yes, the question is your motivation. Is your motivation to bring light to darkness? In which case, your atmosphere is light. You're following God, your atmosphere is light. If you aren't following God, then and you're in a dark atmosphere, then you will be darkness. You're not shining light, you're receiving darkness. Yep, so Lewis said, if you're in a funk, worship, because that will change your atmosphere. Thank God for what he is. Recognize your situation, but he's better. He's bigger than your situation. Yeah, okay, well, one more question. Go ahead. Yeah, so it's important to stay consistent and be intentional. That's what he said. Okay, so if everyone would please stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this word to share with the people. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your voice that we can hear. Thank you, Lord, that you guide us. Thank you for being willing to take our thoughts and replace them. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, for fighting with us through this war. Thank you for being our anchor. Amen. So, before I send you out, if anyone feels that they struggle with hearing God, you know, you don't know how, whatever, please come. I'll lay hands on you. Don't leave here. Don't leave here. Come. If you're unsure, just come. Before I forget, a great book for hearing God is Peter Lord's. It's called Hearing God. Great book. Excellent book. Please read it. It will help. So, Lord, smother us in your love. Guide us through the week. Lord, shine through us. Let us be the light into the darkness. Have a great week, City Church.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. So if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.